Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text number 22, page number 94. Yatha Vihaya. Yasamsi Janani Yatha Vihaya. Navani Grinanti Naro Aparani. Navani Grinanti Naro Aparani. Tata Shirani Vyaya Janani. Tata Shirani Vyaya Janani. Anyani Samyati Nivani Yagehi. Anyani Samyanti Navani Dehi. Word for word. Vashamsi. Garments. Janani. Old and worn out. Yatha. Just as. Mahaya. Giving up. Navani. Old garments. Vinanti. Does accept. Nara, a man. Aparani, others. Tata, in the same way. Rani, bodies. Vihaya, giving up. Janani, old and useless. Anyani, different. Samyati, rarely accepts. Rarely accepts. Nirvani. Nisets. Dehi. Embodied. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a person puts on new garments, giving up the old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Omaryanatram Dasya Janajana Sakaya Sakshura Mitam Jena Tasme Shri Gurvin Maha Shri Shaitanya Manobistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamanam Dante Swapanantikam Shri Krishna Shaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adraita Gadara Shivasa Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Purport. Change of the body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Even the modern scientists who do not believe in the existence of the soul, but at the same time cannot explain the source of energy in the heart, have to accept continuous changes of the body, which appear from boyhood, from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and again from youth to old age. From old age, the change is transferred to another body. This has already been explained in a previous verse, 2:13. Deno smin yata dehe kumaram yovanam jara tata deyan jara praptir diras tatra namuhite. of this section of Bhagavad Gita is this is jnana, or knowledge given by Krishna to Arjuna, so that he can give up his lamentation and fight, because Krishna is emphasizing the fact that he's not killing the person, because the soul, the body and the soul are not the same. So this is the these verses are meant for this purpose. Of course, Arjuna's lamentation was reasonable. No one wants to kill their teacher, their friends, or but because Krishna ordered it, then it was to be done. And because Arjuna was acting under the direction of Krishna, there was no sin involved. Although after the battle of Kurukshetra, 640 million people were killed. Maharaj Yudhisthira didn't want to accept the throne because he thought he was responsible for killing so many living entities. So many different individuals tried to convince him that it was not his, he's not to blame, he should accept the throne because that was Krishna's desire, that the battle of Kurukshetra be fought and that Yudhisthira become the king of the world. So only Bhishma had the power to instruct him, to convince him to give up this misconception. So Bhishma Dev was given a benediction by his father that he can leave his body at will whenever he decided to. So Bhishma fell on the battlefield of Kurukshetra after 11 days, and his body was full of arrows. He was laying on a bed of arrows. Then Krishna came to him and told him he should instruct Maharaj Yudhisthira. But Bhishma said, "How can I instruct anyone in this condition? I'm feeling too much pain." So Krishna said, "No, from this day on you won't feel any more pain." So after the battle of Kurukshetra was over, the Pandavas, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Krishna, so many different personalities came every day to take instruction from Bhishma Dev. And this went on for quite some time, like 48 days. So, then when Bhishma Dev was going to instruct Maharaj Yudhisthira, Draupadi started laughing. So they said, "Why are you laughing?" She said, "Because when I was going to be disrobed in the assembly hall, you're supposed to be knower of religious principles. You didn't say anything. The only person that spoke up and said this is wrong was Vidura." So Bhishma said, "At that time I was contaminated by bad association, and all the blood has gone out of my body, so now I'm free from that contamination, so I can speak." So here it says, change of body, or the atomic individual soul, accepted as a fact. So today, in the schools, universities, and colleges, and they have science classes and so many different kinds of classes, and present things as facts. But then after some time, they decided that that was not right. We should change the textbook. It's like they were teaching Darwin's theory of evolution as a fact. But Darwin had a problem with his theory of evolution, is that Darwin didn't know anything about the soul. And he didn't read the Bhagavad Gita. Or if he did, he didn't understand anything about the soul. So his whole theory is like when you have a bank account and you make a mistake on your balance at the beginning of the month, then your balance will never be correct. So whatever theory he gave couldn't be correct because he didn't know anything about the soul. And he said that the less intelligent, the most intelligent, come from the less intelligent. But we don't see that happening, that someone who goes to school, that the most retarded person in the school becomes gets the honor of being the best student. So the most intelligent, we say, the less intelligent come from the most intelligent, not that the most intelligent come from the less intelligent. The Darwin theory of evolution, or the man evolved from a monkey, how the monkey doesn't have any intelligence. You can't teach a monkey anything about they have some intelligence, how to steal your glasses or steal your food, but they can't take any good instruction. So how can a less intelligent, most intelligent person come from a less intelligent person? Doesn't make any sense. Even Lord Brahma, he was imparted Vedic knowledge, Tene Brahma Ridaya Gaye. Lord Brahma was imparted Vedic knowledge in the heart by Lord Vishnu at the beginning of creation. So one time Brahma went to see Lord Krishna at Dwarka. And the doorkeeper answered the door and said, "Yes, who are you?" He said, "I'm the Brahma, the creator of the universe. I want to see Krishna." So the doorkeeper went back to Krishna and told him the Brahma's here. He said, "Ask him, which Brahma are you?" So Brahma, he went back and said, "Krishna will see you, but he wants to know which Brahma are you." And Brahma said, "I'm the four-headed Brahma with the father of the four Kumaras." So when Brahma went to see Krishna, he offered his obeisances. And Krishna said, "Yes, my Lord Brahma, why have you come to see me?" And Brahma said, "Before I answer that question, I'm curious to know why you said, which Brahma are you? Are there more Brahmas? I'm not the only Brahma." Then immediately, Krishna showed Lord Brahma. He called all the other Brahmas from all the other universes. And some had 10 heads, some had 100 heads, some had 1,000 heads, some had 10,000 heads, some had 1,000,000 heads, some of them had 10 million heads. But only the four-headed Brahma could see all the other Brahmas. They thought they all came alone. And Krishna said to the Brahmas, "You know, are the demons disturbing you? Is your universe peaceful?" And they said yes. So, according to the number of heads the Brahma has, that means how intelligent. And he had most intelligent. So the Brahma on this planet only has four heads. So the other Brahmas are much more intelligent. But the fact that less intelligent most intelligent come from less intelligent can't be proven. And Brahma is the most intelligent person in this universe and all the universes. And from Brahma, all the other living entities come into existence. So the Krishna describing here about the soul. And modern scientists, it says here, did not believe in the existence of the soul. So they say that life is just a combination of chemicals. But if that's a fact, we say, we'll give you all the chemicals, you bring the dead body back to life. But they say, we will do it in the future. And that is, Prabhupada says, like receiving a post-dated blank check. I'll write you a check for 1 crore rupees, and we'll leave the date blank, and in the future, that check will become good when I get that much money. So that's a post-dated blank check. But of course, you can't bank on that. You can't trust that there will ever be that money will ever be there. So they're bluffing. They're saying that life is a combination of chemicals, and that if the soul exists, then you have to prove it. But the Bhagavad Gita says that the soul goes from one body to another, as the air carries the aroma. So it's a very subtle thing. And everybody, we have a mind, we have intelligence, but you can't see your mind, you can't see your intelligence. Can you prove it? How can you prove it? So there's so many things you can't prove. I can say that the country of China exists. I've never been there, but I heard about it. So I can actually have to accept some authority. So the authorities say in the Vedic literature that the soul is the life force in the body. As soon as the soul is out of the body, then the body no longer will be active. So to think that this body is active for so long a time, and then it becomes, as soon as the soul is out of the body becomes inactive. To think that the activity is stops, but the changes there, the soul, according to his karma, has to go receive another body. So we always have a body. It's never when we don't exist or we don't have a body. The soul, Satchitananda, eternally full of knowledge and bliss. But it is minute, very tiny. And so the person here says that we grow from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. But what is growing is the body is changing. It's not really growing. It's like a motion picture. They make a motion picture by taking so many pictures, which are still life, still pictures, and making them move very fast to make it look like make it into a movie. But the movie is actually still alive, but it's moving so fast that it makes it look like they're moving. So in the same way, the body is changing, but because of the presence of the soul, and that cannot be stopped. So someone takes birth, someone becomes a child, then becomes a boy, then becomes a youth, then old age, and then he dies. But this cannot be stopped. This janam mrityu jaravadi, that's always there. Birth, death, old age, and disease. That cannot be changed by scientists, by anyone. When someone gets old, someone gets diseased, he has to leave his body. Eventually, everyone has to leave their body. In this age, it's only someone lives at most to be 100 years old. In Satyuga, the people live for 100,000 years. In Treta Yuga, people live for 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, people live for 1,000 years. And in Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Pina Pisaha, Klasmin Yagainanha. That the in this age, not only are we only live at most 100 years, but we also have so many bad qualities. And above all, we're always disturbed. So in this way, it has to be understood that the identity of the individual is the soul. So Lord Kapiladeva, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the different character, different levels of devotees. So the pujari in the temple, taking care of the deity, if he does that with all very nice paraphernalia, dresses deeds very nicely, and offers very nice foodstuff and very nice flowers, but if he doesn't realize that he's a spirit soul, and that the spirit soul is in every living entity, and he doesn't know how to treat other living entities, then his activity is considered to performing a sacrifice and pouring ghee on ashes. It has no value. So he doesn't say that we should stop deity worship, but the pujari should try to come to that platform and understand that there's a soul in every living body, and that we should treat everyone, treat our god brothers, treat all people with an equal level, and but because the pujaris are kanista bhaktas, they have problems, they quarrel with each other, and they don't really understand this fact about the soul being in every body. So this is something we have to try to come to that platform. Not only the soul is in every body, but the super soul is there too. So this is a this is inevitable. The body, changing of the body is inevitable. And sometime back, they tried freezing some dead bodies, some famous people, with the hope in the future that they would come up with a cure for that person's disease and bring it back to life. But that never happened. And Arjuna cannot protect anyone from changing his body. So even though Arjuna had so many very powerful weapons, even not like today, they only have a few weapons. But in 5,000 years ago, Arjuna had a water weapon and a fire weapon and a wind weapon, so many different kinds of weapons, but none of these weapons could actually do any defeat that be could harm the soul, because the soul, it says, cannot be is indestructible, unborn, immutable, cannot be killed by anyone. Krishna's giving so many different analogies, different information about the nature of the soul. And because the soul is so minute, it can't be, that no one can harm the soul. So, all it is, Arjuna is just speeding up the process. Instead of these people getting old, they will die on the battlefield and receive another body, which will be, or they'll go back to Godhead, whatever the case may be, or they'll get a better body. So in either way, all these things same reasons why Arjuna should not lament for the change of the body. So again, we want to emphasize the fact that life does not come from chemicals. Life comes from life. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj, which says that in the Adi Lila, the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, life comes from life. Life does not come from chemicals. Even though it may appear that life comes from chemicals in some circumstances where we find insects in the dry goods in the summertime, especially we find insects in the atta and the suji and the rice, but these insects, they're not born from chemicals. It's just the atmosphere is such that the soul can reproduce and become alive in that condition. So the soul can be either come from the ground, or come from fermentation, or come from an egg, or come from the embryo. But the different conditions are there, so the soul can appear in a certain type of body and live for a certain amount of time. So life cannot come from chemicals. The chemicals, no chemicals can produce more chemicals. The chemicals in the body, if you take a dead body, the chemicals of the body are worth to maybe 10 rupees or 100 rupees. But the family is lamenting for the body. But they actually never actually saw the person in that body, the soul in that body has gone to another destination. When Srivas Thakur was having kirtan in his house, Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan, his son died. And Srivas Thakur told everybody, told all the ladies in the house, do not lament for your child, death of your son, and because you will disturb the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. So after the kirtan was finished, Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, says something happened in your house. And he said, yes, my son died. He said, well, why you didn't tell me? He said, because I didn't want to disturb your kirtan. So that was 7.5 hours after the son had died. So Mahaprabhu was pleased with Srivas's detachment. So Mahaprabhu went to the child and spoke to the child and said, why did you leave Srivas's house? The child said, Dad, it was according to my karma, I took birth in this house, and according to my karma, I have to leave and go to another destination. But may I always be your eternal servant. So this shows how the soul may leave the body at any time, and the body remains, the chemicals remain. There's no chemical. You can't give. One devotee challenged the scientists and said, if life comes in chemicals, then bring one dead tree back to life. He put some chemicals in that. And bring one tree back to life. The scientist replied that we cannot do, but maybe in the future, maybe perhaps. They say maybe perhaps, and then they get Nobel Prize. So this is something that is not taught in the school. There's so many universities, so many colleges all over the world. There's no department of the soul, no department to teach people who they are. That we're not this body, and we're not here to try and enjoy this body as much as possible, but we're here to try to get free from the entanglement of material world and not have to take birth repeatedly again and again. So it's like a Ferris wheel. You go to a carnival, they have this Ferris wheel that goes around and around. And the soul is going around and around through 8,400,000 species of life. And those 8,400,000 species, they always remain the same. They don't change. But the soul can go from one species to the next, to the next. And so it's not that the chemicals are changing, it's the soul is changing from one form to another. And Srila Prabhupada established the Bhaktivedanta Institute to try to preach to scientists and to try to make them understand that what they believe is not correct. So some success was there. And there are some books written, scientific books written, that are explain these facts. So the purport here, Prabhupada says, transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of the super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as Sweta Bhattara Upanishad, compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird is simply watching his friend. Of the two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is a servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of changing his position from one tree to another, or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree and material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to do by voluntarily surrendering unto Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentations. Both in the Mundaka Upanishad and Sweta Bhattara Upanishad confirm this. Although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed in anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if the same way, but in the same way, the other or other, and some, but if some way or another, or another, or other, he turns his face to his friend, the Lord, and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from anxiety. Arjuna has now turned his face toward his eternal friend Krishna, and is understanding the Bhagavad Gita from him. Thus, hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. Tadvidi pariprapthena pariprasena sevaya upyekchanti tegyanas yanastapa darshanaha. So, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, adol guru ashraya, the first principle given by Rupa Goswami is that one must accept a spiritual master, accept initiation into the parampara system. And the spiritual master should be sotram brahmanistam. He should be know the science of Krishna consciousness. He should be conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness so he can instruct his disciple. If the guru is on the same level as the disciple, then there's no meaning to guru-disciple relationship. The guru must be advanced to the Madhyamadikari or Uttamadikari position, or but he must have enough knowledge of the Krishna consciousness philosophy and Srila Prabhupada's books to be able to give proper instruction to his disciple. Prabhupada says that the Kanistha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari can accept disciples. He said Kanistha Adhikari can accept disciples, but they may not be able to give sufficient instruction. So there are two kinds of gurus, the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru. So the Diksha Guru is the one who gives the name and gives the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But if the Diksha Guru is, someone finds that he wants to take Shiksha from someone he feels more qualified, then with the permission of his Shiksha Guru, his Diksha Guru, he can also go to have many Shiksha Gurus. But they should be in our line. We're in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. It shouldn't be in another Sampradaya or in no Sampradaya. We can take instruction, but it must be from someone in our Sampradaya. So you can accept initiation from a less qualified guru, but then you can take Shiksha from someone who is more qualified or more knowledgeable of the Shastra. With his permission, it's not an offense to do that. But in no case should one reject his guru. One time Gurudev Pandit went to Mahaprabhu and said that I've given my mantra to an unqualified person, and now I want you to give me my mantra again. But Lord Chaitanya refused. He said, no, I can't do that because that will create havoc in your spiritual life. Because your guru is still in good standing and still on the planet, and he'll be coming here in 10-15 days, and you can take the mantra again from him. So as long as your guru is in good standing and practicing Krishna consciousness, then one should not go to another guru and take initiation again. I think this is an offense to the guru and will not your devotional life, it will create havoc in your devotional life. And some people have done that. They didn't like, somehow or other, they decided they didn't like their guru because they went to some other guru. So that's not proper etiquette. So here it says, hearing from Krishna, Arjuna could understand the supreme glory of the Lord and be free from lamentation. So the conditioned soul is full of anxiety and moroseness. Everybody in the material world is morose. It says in the Krishna book, the story before begins with the conversation between Rukmini and Krishna, that everybody in the material world is morose. Even the karmis, even the gyanis, everyone is morose, because they have material desires that they can never fulfill. Only the devotees are not morose, or shouldn't be morose. So we see that when people became devotees, they become bright-faced and shiny. And in America, when the devotees would go on Harinam in the streets, people would inquire, are you Americans? Are you the same people that we are? Because devotees were no longer morose, no longer, but devotees are clean and joyful. But they aren't working hard day and night trying to make some money to be happy. They can understand that this will not make a person happy. And devotees not anxiety about fulfilling his material desires, as it shouldn't be. So Krishna told Rukmini that you should have married Shishupal. You made a mistake. I'm not a qualified person. And this was after Rukmini had grandchildren. And but Krishna, because they when Satyabhama, Krishna took Satyabhama to heavenly planet and gave her a Parijati tree. He promised her a flower. She wanted a flower, but he gave her the whole tree. So he expected Rukmini would be jealous, be envious. But Rukmini didn't say anything. So in order to make Rukmini angry, Krishna jokingly had this conversation with her and said, you made a big mistake. You should have married Shishupal. I'm just a color boy, and I don't know my identity. I don't have any money. He gave so many reasons why Rukmini should have married Shishupal. But Rukmini didn't take it very as a joke, joking. She fainted when she heard this, that Krishna wanted to be separated from her. Then she countered Krishna's argument, said, do you want me to marry Shishupal? Do you want me to marry a man who has bones, has hair all over his body, mucus, bile, air, blood, and so many foul things coming out of that body? And do you want me to marry someone like that? And it says that the man's body is like that, and the woman's body is the same. The gross body is abominable. But because Rukmini, Krishna, is Krishna's expansion of the goddess of fortune, she has a spiritual body. And Krishna has a spiritual body. They don't have gross material bodies. So this is also proving that Krishna is not an ordinary person, and his body is Satchinanda Vigraha, eternal full of knowledge and bliss. Janma karma chamedivyam evavnyo veti tapata chatva deham punarjana mati mama iti soarjuna. So one who knows this fact about the appearance of the Lord does not take birth again in this material world. So Krishna comes by his own will, and he performs his pastimes, and we can read about him in the Krishna book, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. We can read about Krishna's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and understand that these are all in the transcendental position. So there's nine processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. The beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering. Remembering is the chief, it says it's the chief of all the qualities, but Shravanam and Kirtanam are to be practiced first, because remembering is not always an easy thing, especially in Kali Yuga when we have Manasumanda Matayo, that the mind is always wandering here and there, the mind is always disturbed, so we can't always think of Krishna in our mind. But by chanting, we can fix our mind. By hearing, we can fix our mind. So it's important that we regularly hear from advanced devotees that we chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And when we're chanting, we should try to hear the mantra, and wherever the mind wanders, we just bring it back, just try to hear the sound vibration as much as possible. So Arjuna's advice herewith by the Lord, not to lament for the body change of his old grandfather and his teacher. He should rather be happy to kill their bodies in the righteous fight, so that they may be cleansed at once of all reaction of various body activities. One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or the proper battlefield is once cleansed of bodily reaction and promoted to a higher status of life. There's no cause for Arjuna's lamentation. So if someone in the 5,000 years ago, the Varnashram system was there. There was Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. If someone was a Kshatriya, he laid down his life on the battlefield, then he was be promoted to the heavenly planet and get a higher destination. Of course, nowadays there are no Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Sudras. Everyone glow Sudra Sambhava. Everyone is less than Sudra. So so Krishna is giving Arjuna so many reasons not to lament. Arjuna's lamentation will go on throughout the Bhagavad Gita till finally Arjuna accepts Krishna and says, now I accept your authority, and agrees to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. It was all Krishna's plan to relieve the burden of the earth. Because 5,000 years ago, the earth had become overburdened by demoniac kings and rulers, and Mother Earth was feeling burdened. So she went to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma prayed to Krishna, and Krishna invented himself with this purpose to relieve the burden of the world and to give pleasure to his devotees. Vritnaya sadhanam vinishaya cha duskritam. So then this way we should study Bhagavad Gita, study Sri Prabhupada's books, study Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Sri Prabhupada said that devotees should read all his books, read every word in his books, otherwise you will become lazy and fall into the mode of ignorance. So whenever we have free time, we should read Prabhupada's books, read all of Prabhupada's books systematically in whatever language you speak, English, Hindi. Books have been translated in so many different languages. But everyone should read all of Prabhupada's books and understand the transcendental nature of these books, that they're not mundane sound vibration, but it's a transcendental sound vibration, and we get pleasure by reading Prabhupada's books. They don't become old, they don't become dry and boring. If you read some mundane novel, some book, you can read it one or two times, but then you get tired, you get bored with it. But that's not the case with Prabhupada's books. The more we read them, the more information we get, the more we are getting pleasure from them. So we should read and read and read continuously. Bhaktisiddhanta told his disciples that they should read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat 108 times. So we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Prabhupada. We have Chaitanya Bhagavat, was translated by Prabhupada's disciples, with Bhaktisiddhanta's purports also is there. So we can hear about Krishna's pastime by reading the Krishna book, and we can hear about Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Mano Mahavan Daya, Krishna Prem Padayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Mano Gurunte Senoha. The Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, and he's the most munificent or most magnanimous incarnation or any incarnation, because he gave freely. Krishna said, Sarva Dharma Pariksaja, surrender unto me. But Lord Chaitanya didn't make any demand or make any stipulations, any rules. He simply gave that prema bhakti to everyone. In this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya is giving prema bhakti, which no other incarnations give. So in this way, we're very fortunate that we're in this time, in this age, when Lord Chaitanya has appeared. And he appeared only 500 years ago. Of course, most people in India nowadays, they don't know anything about Mahaprabhu. But Krishnadas Kaviraj says you have to accept Lord Chaitanya, otherwise even if you worship Radha and Krishna, but you don't accept Lord Chaitanya, then you're considered an atheist. And we also have to accept Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. If you accept Lord Chaitanya, but you don't accept Lord Nityananda, it's like bathing the feet of a brahmana and beating him over the head with a stick. So in both cases, we have to understand that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have both arisen on the horizon of Gaudiya Desh to dissipate the darkness of this age of Kali Yuga and give Krishna prema or bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes?
Yes.
Microphone is working?
No, is it the fact that Dikshita Guru is just formality? It's not the most important thing, that Shiksha is important.
What's the question?
Is it the fact that Dikshita, I've heard this from my devotee, is not such an important thing, it's just the formality, that Shiksha is more important?
But our line is the Shiksha line. Our line, Parampara line, Bhakti Vinod, is Diksha Guru was not Jagannath Das Babaji, that was his Shiksha Guru. So Shiksha is our line, is Shiksha is maybe Diksha Guru can be the Shiksha and Diksha Guru. In the case of Srila Prabhupada, he was a Shiksha and Diksha Guru for everyone. So, Shiksha Guru depends on the circumstance. So, if the Shiksha Guru is available, they can take you back to Godhead, then he's more, will be considered more important. So if you can find a Shiksha Guru, then you should accept him with the permission of your Diksha Guru if he's still on the planet or still in Krishna consciousness. Because you can have many Shiksha Gurus, but you can only have one Diksha Guru. Anybody else? Mr. Question Man. Mr. Question Man has a question.
In that evening you were saying that Bhishma Buddha was lying on the bed of flowers and Drupadi was laughing. Bhishma said, my blood is cold and now some education is there. So can you say something more about that? How
I couldn't hear you. Can someone else repeat the question? How does the Bhishma get purified? Because all the blood went out of his body. It was contaminated. His blood was contaminated. So it's that because all the blood went out of his body, he got free from all his contamination. That's all I know about that. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.